Well, fear, you know, it's something that we all experience. So the question today is how to keep it from controlling or even crippling our lives. On this live webcast, you are in the driver's seat. I'm going to answer your questions and give you guidance based on the Word of God on how to deal with fear. Ginger's joining me today. So Ginger, how is this going to work?
Well, we are ready to take all the questions, and all anyone needs to do who's watching, whether they're with us on Facebook or on our website, is begin submitting your questions, and then I will be reading with you along. You don't know what's coming. We're just going to let God take over and answer all these questions.
So you mean I can't operate in fear to answer these questions on fear?
Exactly.
I can't be afraid I'm going to get a question on fear I can't answer. I have to walk in faith, right?
We're putting this into action right now. And I understand we should possibly look for a question coming through from one Dave Meyer,
Dave was teasing me this morning. He said, I think I will send a question in and say, this is Dave Meyer wanting to know why Joyce Meyer is afraid to submit to my authority.
That's pretty good. That's one actually a lot of people would ask.
I've come a long way in that, but he was having a good time with it. So the good news is Dave probably doesn't know how to submit the question, so I don't have too many problems.
He has a submitting problem too.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, we were thinking about what many people are going through right now with the hurricane that affected so much of the United States.
Right.
And sometimes we have fearful situations that we feel fear that they're kind of unsubstantiated.
Right.
But when you go through a situation like that, that's a real fear, and that can stay with you for a long time. And so what encouragement would you give to those people?
Well, you know, the only way to overcome any kind of fear, and I'm sure people are going to hear me saying this over and over and over today, is with faith. Faith is the only thing I know of that's stronger than fear.
Yeah.
And so certainly people probably do have all kinds of fears, especially if they were one of the ones who was seriously affected by this storm. How long is it going to take for me to have my home back?
Right.
How long is it going to take for the power to come back on? Some people, like some 350,000, still don't have power. What am I going to do about the things that I've lost? How am I going to get them back? And so certainly we understand that, and we want to pray for the comfort of those people, and we've been calling people that are partners of ours up along that area to see if any of them had a problem, praying with them, and that's been a real positive thing, just to reach out to people. But the only answer really is to trust God and to believe what Romans 8 says, that all things, although they may not be good, all things will work out for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Keep loving God in the midst of your difficulty. Don't blame it on God. Don't even let it get you confused about, well, God, I don't understand. Have I done something wrong? Why me? Just keep saying, God, I trust you, and I believe you're going to work this out for good. And I think we can also believe God to give us back double what we lost, especially if we can manage to go through a situation with a good attitude. I know sometimes even myself, I'll have a test, and I'm well aware that I need to go through it with a good attitude. And if I do, I see a much better outcome than if I let my attitude get bad.
Right.
Because our attitude does really display if we genuinely have trust in God or not. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy on your emotions, but it can be done.
Yeah, well, that's good. And just watching where our thoughts go, very important. Here's a question. This is coming from Oklahoma, and they ask, how do I deal with panic attacks? A lot of people dealing with panic attacks right now.
Well, panic attacks, of course, can be caused from chemical imbalances and things in your body that may need some type of medication or some kind of nutrition to help that. But I think the best way always to defeat the devil when he's attacking us, the Bible says, to resist him at his onset. So I think, although I've not had a panic attack, so I don't have the experience of knowing what they feel like, having been told what they're like, I would think that, like with everything else, if the minute that you feel something like that coming on, the best thing to do is to start asking right away, God, please help me, help me, help me. And then breathe, try to stay as calm as you possibly can. And I've even been told that when a person is having a panic attack, to realize this too will pass. I'm not going to feel like this forever.
Right.
And
good.
Just, you know, the calmer that you can stay putting your trust in God, the faster it will be over. And also, I just encourage people that have situations like that to take care of themselves nutritionally, get all the help that you can, be as strong physically as you can, exercise, do everything that you can possibly do to help yourself.
Because often the fear after a panic attack comes from, when will the attack happen again?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That can really control
us.
Yeah,
and you don't know where you're going to be. Some people get afraid to go out. And, you know, the thing is we can either confront fear and do it afraid, or we can let fear control our lives. And so the only way that I know how to overcome fear is to say, God is with me. He's going to help me. And however this turns out, God is God is in control. And then you got to do a lot of talking to yourself. And so, you know, I'm sure when people are having panic attacks, there's a voice in their ear that's not God's saying, well, this is going to happen and it's going to be terrible and this and this and this and this. And, you know, of course, one of the things we teach people is that even while you're having a wrong thought, you can open your mouth and say what God would say in the situation. So I would suggest saying, God's on my side. He's going to take care of me. He's here with me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be okay. And the more you verbalize what the Word of God says, the more it's going to help you to overcome the wrong feelings that
right,
you have.
Right. This, I don't know of a better person on the planet to ask than you for this question, because you will have the answer. Brenda from Oklahoma is asking, I am afraid to speak in front of people. How should I get beyond this? You have experience with speaking in front of people.
Well, you have to do it afraid, you know, and obviously I have a gift, but you know what? The first time that I stood up in front of a large crowd of people, I'd been teaching smaller groups, home Bible studies, 100 here, 100 there, a couple hundred here. But then I got in front of a group of 900 people, and although I'd been praying for that opportunity, I was so nervous.
Were
and
you?
So scared, because the enemy just kept telling me, who do you think you are? You are out of your league. I mean, I always tell the story, and it's kind of funny, and I won't take the whole time to tell it here, but all the other speakers were Dr. So-and-so, Reverend So-and-so, Bishop So-and-so. They all had these big, long titles, and I was just plain old Joyce Meyer. And so I thought, this is just going to be a nightmare. And I actually was so nervous that when I opened my mouth and tried to say something, my voice just squeaked.
Aww.
It was just like, and nothing came out. And it was like I had a second, really, to make a decision. Am I going to take my Bible, run off this platform, go back home to Fenton, because I was in Florida at the time, and never go out and try to do this again? Hmm. Or am I going to dig down as deep as I can, open my mouth again, and trust God? And, you know, the Bible never tells us not to shake, not to be nervous, you know, not to feel afraid. It tells us to not be afraid.
Right.
So even though you may feel afraid, you can still do what you believe you're supposed to do. And every time you do it, even if you do it afraid, a little bit more of that fear, feeling of fear will dissipate. Until now, people say to me, well, doesn't it make you nervous to get up in front of these big crowds of people? And I can honestly tell you, I believe through God's grace, I could stand in front of a million people now and it wouldn't make me nervous at all. Because I've had the experience of seeing God never fail me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you won't step out and try, you'll never have the experience of seeing God come through for you. So you never really gain the courage that you need to go ahead and do what God wants you to do.
Right, right. Yeah, it's sad when we're not able to have what God wants us to have or help people the way that He wants us to because we let fear stop us.
Yeah, and you can't always wait for the feeling of fear to go away. You know, one of the things that people are going to probably hear multiple times today is because you feel fear, that doesn't mean you have to bow down to it or give in to it.
Yeah. All right, this is a question from Washington State. I'm watching America changing in ways that scare me, and I feel that we are losing our Christian freedoms, and I feel out of control. How do you suggest I combat this fear?
Well, the thing that God has really spoken to mine and Dave's heart, and it's really one of the greatest comforts to us personally, because we certainly understand this question and why even people would feel that way. We believe if we do our part, if we do what's right, which is to pray for our leaders, pray for the country, to vote in every election, to cast our vote, because that is very important. And then when we feel that God wants us to speak out against unrighteousness, whether that's to write a company that's got ungodly advertisement and say, I don't appreciate this coming into my home and I'd really prefer not to get your magazine anymore.
Right.
Or rather it's to go to a school where your kid goes and says, you know, you really don't have the right to tell my child that they can never say the word God or the word Jesus in school. It's mm-hmm. unconstitutional for you to tell them that. People need to know their rights and be willing to stand up for their rights. But then here's the best answer to that question is this. If you do nothing, then you have a reason to be afraid, because nothing only just opens up the door for evil to take over more and more. The best way for evil to control is when righteous men do nothing. So the last thing we want to do is nothing. But if we do our part, even if our part doesn't change anything in the world, God will still take care of us. We have to remember the Israelites and how God, even while all the plagues were going on in Egypt, they were in a place called Goshen where none of those plagues affected them. So I believe that we can live in the midst of evil and still have a good life because we trust God to meet our needs and take care of us. That doesn't mean maybe everything is going to be perfect for me my whole life or that I might not be affected in some way by the things going on in the world. But God is going to take care of His people, and I really firmly believe that.
Yeah, God is always on the throne no matter what the situation around us sometimes feels like. This is a question from Quebec, and it says, I've been consumed with fear of authority. Mm-hmm. What do I do? A lot of people have that fear, don't they?
A lot of people have that fear. You know, I deal with people with that. Sometimes people will get around me and they'll just be nervous or they'll shake, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a fearful person. Why, you know, you don't have to be afraid of me. I'm not going to hurt you. Why are you like that? Well, I'm just afraid of authority. And, you know, I understand that because I was mistreated by my father, who was an authority figure in my life. And so I wasn't necessarily so afraid of authority as I was rebellious toward authority, especially male authority. I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. People who obviously are afraid of authority are afraid that they're going to be mistreated. Are they're afraid that this other person is so much greater than they are that they feel very belittled in their presence. They don't think very highly of themselves. And we need to realize that the Bible says that in Christ all distinctions vanish. There's no more Jew nor Greek, male nor female,
right.
You know, slave nor free, but we're all one in Christ. And so here again, mm-hmm. God is going to take care of us, and we really don't have to be afraid of anybody. You need to see yourself not better than anybody else, but just as good as everybody else. And a lot of these fears do come from how we feel about ourselves. And so mm-hmm. I would ask every person that's joining us on the webcast today to have a little meeting with themselves when the webcast is over. Literally sit down, book an hour with yourself, have a meeting, and ask yourself, how do I really feel about myself? You know, do I feel like maybe that I'm stupid? Do I feel like that I'm not capable? Do I feel like I don't have what it takes? Do I feel that I'm inferior to other people? And you can never present yourself in a confident way if you don't have a decent relationship with yourself. I mean, you have to know that, okay, I'm not perfect, but I'm not really any worse than anybody else. I mean, we all make mistakes, and I can't really do it on my own, but I can do anything I need to through Christ. Just realize that whatever you don't have, if you have Jesus in your life, you have more than enough. And here again, to overcome fear of authority, you have to take baby steps while you still feel afraid. Let's just say maybe that somebody in authority is asking this person, let's just say it's a boss, and they're asking this person to do things that they don't want to do, that they don't feel is right. I had a situation like that a long time ago. A boss asked me to do something that I felt was immoral. It was going to basically be helping him steal from somebody because I was the bookkeeper and he wanted me to write off some money that we owed them. And I couldn't afford to lose my job. I just made a commitment to have a lot of work done on my teeth, and I worked downtown where Dave did. We didn't need two cars. A lot of reasons why I didn't want to lose that job. And I was very nervous, very frightened, but I would rather be more afraid of displeasing God than I am man. So I did go in very nervously, very sheepishly. You know, I know you don't agree with my beliefs, but I'm a Christian and I don't feel like that I can do what you're asking me to do. I feel like it would be wrong. I expected all day to get fired. He came out and told me to send the company a check. And after that, I actually got promoted and promoted and promoted. So we have to really know that if we do what's right, God is going to take care of us. So take a baby step. If you need to talk to your boss about something, do it. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, you know, if you do, then you've done the right thing. God will help you find another one.
Right. And remember, that person in authority is far from perfect, too.
That's exactly right.
All right. This comes from Ohio. Debbie is asking, how do I keep from fearing the worst, especially with the health of our family? I think when a lot of people go through a difficult situation, especially with health or whatever it may be, then we can get past it, but we still have that fear of what if it comes back?
Well, you know, our personal relationship with God and knowing that no matter what happens is always the key to overcoming fear. Now, in 1989, I had breast cancer, and I had to have a very radical, serious surgery. And thank God the cancer had not gotten to my lymph nodes, so I didn't have to take a lot of treatment. But, you know, it's a lot of people know and you hear that, you know, once you've had cancer, it can come back. So every year now for 22, 23 years, however long it's been, I go and get my mammogram. And I remember on two occasions, one, I went and they came back and said, we're seeing something we don't like. We want you to stick around to do an ultrasound. Well, okay.
<Yeah. laughs>
So I had to just keep saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Well, just this week, I went and got my yearly mammogram. And it took a long time for the girl to come back. Long time. They're going to bring me the results. She wasn't coming. So I started thinking, uh-oh. But when I would think like that, then I would just say, God, I'm in your hands. And no matter what she comes out here and tells me, we'll walk it out together and I'm in your hands. Then when she came out with the report, she looked down the hall. Is anybody here? Looked down this hall. I thought, oh my gosh, she's getting ready to tell me something.
Yeah.
And so then again, I'm saying, you know, okay, God, I can handle it, whatever it is. And so, you know, I basically say when the devil talks to you, you need to talk back to him. Well, then she said, everything's fine. And I thought, well, I don't know why that needed to be such a big secret. But I kind of just thought later, you know, it was just a test. It was just, am I going to continue to hold on to what I say I believe, even when things are difficult? And, you know, I don't have an answer to tell anybody watching today how they can always keep a fearful thought from being presented to their mind. Because the devil is alive and well on planet Earth, and he tries to control people with fear. He's never going to stop trying to make people afraid.
So the thoughts will come.
So the thoughts will come. But honestly, the more you learn to trust God, and one of the ways to do that is to think about all the times in the past that God has helped you and delivered you and how good he is and what the word says. I love Psalm 27:14. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? And so we need to know that no matter what happens in our life, God is with us. I mean, the reasons that we find in the Bible for not fearing is trust God. Fear not, for I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one right there. Fear not, for I am with you. 1 John 4 says, perfect love casts out fear. And that's talking about the perfect love that God has for his people. So we say, God, I believe you love me. I believe you're with me. Therefore, I don't have to know all the answers because I believe that you're going to work it out. And no matter how long it takes or what has to happen, you're with me. And, you know, even if somebody wants to get really radical and go far out, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We die. Then what? We're in God's presence. So if I live, it's for Christ. Mm-hmm. And if I die, it's for Christ. And if the worst thing that happens to me is going to put me right with him face to face, then I'm going to leave myself in God's hands and believe that he's going to take care of me. It's really all about what we believe, Ginger.
It's good. And it isn't the first fearful thought, that's not a sin.
No, absolutely not. See, I thought for many years, boy, I got to just got to get rid of this fear. You know, if I could just get rid of this fear, if I just didn't feel afraid, and then I realized that feeling afraid is not sin. Actually, when God said to Joshua, fear not, for I am with you, when he had asked Joshua to lead the Israelites the rest of the way into the promised land when Moses died, he said, fear not, for I am with you. He was basically telling Joshua, you're going to feel fear, but I'm telling you not to give into it because I'm with you. And then he said, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I already given unto you. So God has already planned your deliverance. He's already planned your victory. Before you ever have a problem, you already have the victory, but you just have to walk it out.
Yes.
And that requires a step of faith. You take a step, God is there. Many times when I go to the pulpit to speak, I don't know what's going to happen. Everybody thinks, you know, Shirley, she got all the answers, man. You know, she's every time she gets up, you know, like, I mean, I didn't know what was, I don't know what you're going to ask me next. And I could get really scared by it if I wanted to. But, you know, I guess the worst thing that could happen to me here today is somebody asks a question and I have to say, I don't know. Well, that's not going to be the end of the world. So God, we get these things in our head that we don't need to have there. And the bottom line is take a step. God will meet you. Take a step. Yeah. God will meet you. Take a step. God will meet you.
All right, here's another question. This comes from Toronto, and Jessica asks, how do you handle fear that comes with repeated rejection?
Well, first of all, you want to always remember that God never rejects you, and maybe you're just hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Maybe you're hanging out with people that that's been a pattern in their life with you. Also, I think if you're afraid of rejection, you're drawing it to yourself over and over and over again. I experienced a lot of rejection in my life, and part of it was just I wasn't hanging out with the right kind of people, and I was afraid of being rejected. So when you're afraid of being rejected, you actually produce behavior that kind of turns people off. So it kind of goes back to what do you feel about yourself. You know, if you're going overboard trying to get people to accept you, then sometimes you just smother them, and that drives them away. So I would suggest that this person, once again, have a meeting with themselves, find out how they feel about themselves. And if they need to get some new friends, then get rid of all the people that are trying to control you by making you do what they want you to do. Otherwise, they reject you and say, well, God, I believe that you accept me, and I'm asking you to give me divine connections. Wait for God. Don't be going and making your own friends. I want to be friends with you. I want to be friends with you. I want to be friends with you. Well, you know, you're a big shot at work or at the church.
The wrong reasons.
I want to be friends with you.
Right.
And just trust God to bring the right people into your life. And you know, you might have to wait a little while. You might have to spend a few evenings alone, but God will come through if you trust Him to do it.
You know, you guys are sending in such great questions. I'm just really impressed with all of your questions. This is a good one coming from Virginia. And she says, how do I overcome my fear and doubts when it comes to my salvation?
Well, first of all, you can't base anything that you receive from God on feelings. You know, I've had kind of a tough couple of days just because of dealing with some personal family issues, not my husband or my kids, but some things with other family situations where I'm involved and need to take care of something, and it's not an easy thing to take care of because the person's not being easy to deal with. And so right in the midst of needing to come and do all this today, you know, I'm taking phone calls and doing all this other stuff. And so, you know, I actually said to God right before I came out to this studio, well, I don't feel too connected today. I don't feel your presence much, but I know that you're with me. And I trust when I go out there and sit down that you are going to give me what I need. So we don't always feel that we're saved. We don't always feel that God is with us. We don't always feel that our prayers are getting answered. But you know what I said to God? I don't feel it, but I am assured. I have assurance by the Word of God that you are with me. And sure enough, God is giving us the answers. You know, this tells us, this Bible, this wonderful Word of God tells us that we can have something greater than feelings. And you know, the thing that's greater than feelings is to know that you know way down deep inside that God loves you and that He has a good plan for your life and He's going to take care of you. And if you turn your head off for just a minute and stop thinking about what you think and stop thinking about what you feel, you're going to find that way down deep inside is a faith that God gives us as a gift that says, I care about you and I'm going to take care of you. And then I'm big on verbalizing and I'll never get over it because you know, the Bible says we're to meditate on the Word, and that means to roll it over and over in your mind, to mutter it under your breath, to speak it out loud. And so even when you feel like you're not saved, I would say out loud, I have given my life to Christ, and He is faithful, and I don't care how I feel, I am born again. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God.
That's good. That's good. All right. This comes from New Jersey, and they ask, how do you know the difference between fear and just being wise and cautious?
Well, I think there is a certain amount of fear that is healthy. You know, you should be afraid to step out in the middle of traffic. I mean, there's certain things that you do want to be afraid of, and I don't think that that's all that difficult to understand, because one of them is going to be a tormenting feeling. And one of them is going to just be, yeah, I mean, that's, you're going to feel comfortable in that. You know, I'm healthily afraid to spend money that I don't have and to step out in traffic. Like, I was thinking today about maybe what some of the questions would be. Well, you know, I'm not a good swimmer, so I would be healthily afraid to dive off into the deep water. Mm-hmm. And that's not, so when I feel that, that's not a tormenting, oh, what's going to happen.
Right.
That's just a wise thing. That probably wouldn't be a good thing for me to do, because I probably would drown if I did. So I think that, you know, there's wisdom that we should be afraid in certain situations and not do certain things. You know, when we tell people not to be afraid, we're not suggesting that they do foolish things and step out into the middle of things that make no sense or where they could actually get hurt. We're talking about not letting a demonic type of fear control you and steal the destiny that God has for you. We're talking about, if you really feel in your heart that God is leading you to do something, then you need to step out and do that. But we're not talking about just doing all kinds of crazy stuff just to say, whoa, I'm not afraid.
Right, right. All right. Carly is asking, how can one deal with the fear of disappointing God, others, and ourselves? Just the fear of being a disappointment.
Well, first of all, you know, we all have weaknesses. There's no doubt about that. But I found a couple of scriptures, a couple of places where a voice came out from heaven at Jesus' baptism, and again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we can start out by thinking, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. Well, sure, he was pleased with Jesus. But you know what? Jesus came, got in an earthly body just like us, and he had to live by faith just like we do. And so when he received that voice by faith, God is pleased with me, it gave him the courage to do what he needed to do. And you know, I also say by faith, now I believe that God is pleased with me. He's not pleased with everything I do. I think that probably sometimes the things that we do and the ways that we behave may be a little disappointing to God, but he still loves us, and he's committed to seeing us through to the very end of things. And, you know, I have friends disappoint me from time to time, and I'm sure that I disappoint them. There's all kinds of... it's impossible to have relationship with people and never be disappointed. But let me say this. If the relationship is really a real relationship, then it will make it through disappointments and become even stronger. When we can get through things with people, our relationship actually becomes stronger and stronger. Probably what this person is experiencing is they have an unrealistic expectation of themselves. They expect themselves to never disappoint and to always do the right thing. And you're just putting a pressure on yourself that is unrealistic. And so when you take that pressure off and realize, I probably am going to disappoint people from time to time, and even trust God with that. God, if this is a real genuine relationship, then you can give them the grace to get over that and bear with me in my weaknesses, just like I bear with others in their weaknesses.
Yeah. And sometimes those fears and even those disappointments do become blessings to us in ways that we learn. And, you know, God can take those things and make good out of them.
All I know is that I am very grateful that I don't have the pressure on me to be perfect.
Yeah.
I don't have to be perfect for people. I don't have to be perfect for God. I don't even want to have a relationship with anybody that's expecting me to never, ever, ever show a sign of weakness or ever make a mistake. That's just too much pressure, and I don't want to have it. So I think that this individual can actually take the pressure off of herself before this webcast is over today by simply saying, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect. And really, everybody knows that. We all know that nobody's perfect. There's no perfect job, no perfect church, no perfect pastor, no perfect friend, no perfect marriage. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. So the very fact that we have him in our lives is proof that we're going to have imperfections.
There's a lot of freedom in that, letting that sink in. Laura is saying, I'm recently born again, and all Christians keep telling me it's going to be a hard road and I'm going to suffer. And this is giving me a little bit of anxiety. So is it really going to get worse, and how should I handle with the fear that I'm facing?
Well, first of all, I think that if they're telling her that without giving her the balance, then they may be misinformed themselves. You know, I think it is good to tell people when they're born again, this doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem again. Because some people are told erroneously, oh, if you receive Christ, then everything comes up roses after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. I remember one time ministering in a prison and telling the people, I'm not telling you that life is going to be perfect or easy, but I am telling you that God will always be with you and that he'll always enable you to do what you need to do. And I remember one man coming to me and saying, thank you that you didn't just tell us a bunch of fluffy stuff about how life is going to be so wonderful, because what happens is preachers come here and tell us that, and then half the people that prayed the prayer of salvation backslide the next day when they have a problem. So I'm just basically telling you, the Bible says in the world you will have tribulation, but Jesus said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. So here's the thing that I say. You know, your worst day with Jesus is going to be better than your best day ever was without him. So you may have some things come up in your life, but God is always going to be with you. He's always going to help you. He's always going to get you through them. And everything that he does allow you to go through is for a good purpose in your life. And you'll learn something from that that's going to help you with the next phase of your life. So we do not have to live in fear.
Yeah. All right. This is coming from Florida, and Louise is asking, if we are not supposed to fear, why does the Bible say to fear God?
Well, fearing God is a different thing entirely than being afraid of people and circumstances in our life. The fear that the Bible is talking about when it says fear God is a reverential fear and awe, more like a holy respect. That when we have a proper fear of God, we know that God is powerful, we know that he's right, that he's holy, and a fear of God also says, I know if God says something that he means it, and it would be very wise for me to do it the way that God tells me to do it, because that's going to be the best thing that's going to work out for my life. It's a totally different kind of fear than a wrong kind of fear. That's a righteous kind of fear. That's a holy fear that says, you know, I respect God. I'm in awe of God.
So fear of God doesn't keep us away from him.
No, fear of God
doesn't keep... It actually helps us understand him more.
Well, and it also actually helps us obey him. One of the reasons why we see such looseness in morals today, even among some Christians, is because they don't have a proper holy fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've kind of got, well, God's my buddy and he's my friend and he understands and, you know, he always forgives and, you know, all those things may be true, but he also means business. And he, you know, when we know not to do something and we do it anyway, then we're going to have some kind of results from our behavior. Otherwise we never learn anything. It's like, I always say, you know, when my kids were little, I really wanted them to do what I told them to because of my word. But when they didn't, my love was so great for them that I would touch their circumstances. And so even chastisement from God is not a bad thing.
Correction,
the
out of
Lord
love,
that
right.
says that he chastises those whom he loves. So we never, ever, ever have to be afraid of God in a wrong way.
Well, here's a good question that kind of goes along with that. Susan asks, how do you convey a message about fear to young children or teenagers who don't know God's goodness? So helping them to understand what they do need to respect, what they do need to be afraid of, like going out in traffic, but not having fear of the world, understanding that God is good.
Well, I think maybe you have to teach them just through training them in different situations, and that's where correction would come in for a child. You know, you tell little Johnny, you know, don't touch that, don't touch that, and if Johnny keeps touching it, then eventually you're going to put Johnny in time out or you're going to take away a privilege or whatever it is, you know, that you feel is the right way for you to correct your children. You have to sometimes deal with them through their experience, then pretty soon when little Johnny doesn't want to get stuck in the corner anymore or be in timeout, he'll stop touching what you told him right. not to touch. And so he learns a type of respectful, reverential fear through that. You know, there's a right way to teach children to be afraid of something that could hurt them, but not to be afraid to be bold and to do things that would be right for them to do. Like you can right. teach them, you know, you don't have to compare yourself with anybody else. But that's a different thing than teaching them to not go out in the middle of traffic. Right. They're two totally different types of things. And I think you can easily draw that analogy and just teach them a little bit at a time.
So how do we help children not to be afraid because God is with them and help them be a part of their DNA as they're growing up? For instance, if they're afraid of storms and things like that.
Well, I have one grandchild, well, actually probably more than one, but that has manifested, you know, some fear of this and fear of that and fear of something else. And his parents have done such a great job of helping him say, I am brave and I'm not afraid. God is with me. And I've watched him overcome the fear of being in an airplane by doing that and overcome the fear of learning how to ski by doing that. And so we just have to keep working with them the same way that I'm here working with people today, or how I work with people through my teachings, or how God worked with me when he was trying to help me get over the fears that were embedded in me because of the relationship that I had with my father. It's just something that you got to keep at it and keep at it. And that's what parenting is, training. And so the way we train them is by teaching them God is with you. He loves you. He's living in your heart. You read them Bible stories. You read them stories that they can understand. You give them examples that they can understand. And you don't be afraid that you can't teach them not to be afraid.
Yeah, that's right. Living
you
by
trust
example.
God to give you examples and ways to teach them.
Yeah. All right. Kathy from Texas is saying, I'm currently separated from my husband and I pray every day for my marriage, yet I'm still very fearful that it won't work out. How can I best deal with this fear?
Well, I don't think that I can promise her that it will work out, because you're dealing with a couple different people and their will. So she may be willing to do her part, but if her husband is not, then I can't guarantee her that that marriage will work out. But I can guarantee her that if she will put her trust in God, that even if it doesn't work out, God has still got a good plan for her, and there's still something wonderful that's in her future.
That's right.
And so I like to just say, God, this is what I would want, and this is what I would like to see happen, and I really hope that it does. But I think if you know that even if it doesn't, on the other side of that is still God, then you don't have to be so afraid that if this doesn't happen. It's kind of like what I shared about, you know, going to the doctor and to get my mammogram every year, and then it took them a long time to come, and, you know, then she's looking to see if anybody listened before she gave me the report. There was a little bit of like, well, you know, what's the answer going to be? But I didn't have any desperate fear, because I knew that even if they gave me a bad report, I could still make it through whatever I had to go through, because God is still there. God doesn't run away because of our problems.
Yeah. He's not afraid when we are. So
yeah, right.
That's good. Okay.
That's a good way to put it, Ginger. God's not afraid when we are. He's still got everything under control. And one of the things that I say all the time, even about the conditions in the world, is God is still God.
Yeah.
And God is still good. And I've already read the end of the book. You see, we already know how it ends.
Yeah.
Psalm 37 says, in the end, the meek will inherit the earth. Don't be afraid of evildoers, even when it looks like that they're benefiting from their evil while you are not doing so good. In the end, the meek will inherit the earth. So we just have to hold on and keep believing God. And you know, really, I don't even want to say we have to. It's a privilege. What a great privilege it is to trust God. I told my husband the other day, I said, what an amazing privilege. What a benefit it is to not have to worry about all the stuff going on in the world and just say, I trust God that he's going to take care of it.
Yeah, Yeah. That was a great transition for one of these questions, because you said you've read the end of the book. And Levi is saying, I have a fear of the end of days, of the horrors described in Revelation. How do I deal with that fear?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that God's ever going to let us go through anything that he doesn't equip us to go through. And I don't know what's going to happen at the end either. You know, there's a lot of different theories, you know, that we will be here for the tribulation. We'll be here for part of the tribulation. We won't be here for the tribulation. You know, a lot of people believe in the rapture, which I do. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture. But I believe that whatever happens, whenever Jesus comes back, it's going to all work out good. And, you know, we could have been born in any generation. I don't believe that people just kind of boop and show up on earth at some random time. We are handpicked for the time that we live in history. And so if we are alive in these days, which we are, obviously, have you noticed we're alive, Ginger? We're alive
true.
In these days, then God has handpicked us for this time in history, and he has a purpose for us being here now, and God is going to give us what we need if we will trust him. Satan wants us to be afraid. God wants us to trust.
Yeah.
You don't need to know answers to something until it's time to know them. This other little situation I mentioned that I was dealing with a family member. You know, I'm a person, I love to make decisions, and I want to make decisions, get it off my plate so I can go on and not have to bother with it. But this morning I thought, okay, I teach people how to make decisions. And I have a decision to make here. So what would I tell somebody else in this situation if they said, I don't know what to do? You know, because there doesn't seem to be a good, solid answer right now. And you know what I'd tell them? Well, then, only make the decisions you have to make right now. And this is a decision I don't have to make right now. So I'm praying about it, and I'm going to wait and see what God does.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I find that over the next few days, then God does. I said, let's just wait and see how this plays out. Let's just give it a few more days and see how this pans out. Well, this person doesn't have to know what's going to happen in the end of days yet, because they may not even be here then. And if they are, then God's got a plan. One day at a time.
Yeah.
Enjoy today. Don't worry so much about what's going to happen in the future. Focus on the right things. Find something good and focus on it. Don't focus on all these disaster reports, you know, of what people say are going to happen. First of all, they don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows exactly the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come back. And anybody who says that they do doesn't know what they're talking about, because the Bible already says no man knows the day and the hour. All I know is the Bible says I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who strengthens me. So I believe I'm up for whatever, and I don't have to know what it's going to be before the right time.
Yeah, very reassuring. All right, we have a question here from Florida. Does doubt and fear or lack of complete faith prevent God's blessings in my life or prevent him from answering the prayers that I have asked him for?
Well, you know, the one man who got a real outstanding miracle from Jesus said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And so I'm not big on faking faith. Hmm. You know, I think if you say, well, God, I believe, but I'm going to be honest and tell you I'm having a little problem with doubt, a little problem with fear, and I'm asking you to be merciful to me. And the more experience then that you have with God's goodness, the easier it's going to be to trust him. If God only helped people who had perfect faith, I think we'd all be in pretty big trouble. So I just think you got to not fake it. Be honest with God, and he will meet you where you're at. The Bible pretty much tells us that God will meet us where we're at and help us get to where we need to be. And so you be honest with God, he'll meet you even right in the midst of some of your doubt and unbelief. Now, it's different if you're not even trying to overcome it. In the midst of having doubt and unbelief, study faith, study courage, listen to good teaching about the subject, continue to pray about it, continue to make good confessions, and you will overcome it. But I think that honesty with God just really gets us a lot further than trying to fake something.
He knows anyway,
so why not be honest?
Yeah, we can be real with him. He loves us through it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, God, I tell God different situations, you know, I'm really pretty aggravated at this person, but I know you want me to forgive them, and I'm kind of having a hard time with it. I'd really like to go smack them, but if you help me, God, I'll be willing to do it your way. I just find being honest with God gets me a lot more help than trying to pretend.
Yeah. All right. Are there tangible verses that I can say aloud daily to combat fear? What are some of your favorite verses to use?
I will not fear, for God is with me. Fear not, for I am with you. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. There's no reason to fear because God's got a good plan for my life. There's all kinds of scriptures about fear. They say, and I haven't counted them, so I have to say they say that there are 365 places in the Bible where it says fear not, one for every day of the year. Hmm. So surely if it says fear not that many times in the Bible, that must mean that God knew ahead of time that we were going to be attacked with the opportunity to fear. All you have to really do to get a good answer to that question, and it's really better than me giving you the answer, is get a concordance and look up the word fear, and you'll find reference after reference after reference after reference, and if you really begin to read them, you'll find out the Bible says, I'm thinking of one in Isaiah, fear not, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you, I will harden you to difficulties, I will deliver you. When you go through the fire, you won't be burnt. When you go through the waters, you will not drown. So the Bible is never promising us that we won't ever go through.
Yeah.
But it does promise us that God will always be with us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God is not just with us as born again believers in Jesus Christ. He lives in us. He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us, to live in us. And you can't get any closer than that. And He sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who's here to help us, to strengthen us, to enable us to do whatever we need to do. And then you can't, please don't come back and say, well, I feel or I don't feel. You have to get beyond your feelings and say, this is what the Word of God says, and I believe it because God said it.
Yeah. A man from Canada wants to know, why do you believe that fear is so prevalent in our society today?
Well, because Satan wants to control everything that's going on. We have an enemy, the devil. The Bible tells us that. The thief comes only, John 10:10, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And he does that mainly through fear. Just like the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith, and we need to have faith in God to receive His plan. You know, faith is not the price that buys the blessings of God. It's God's grace that's provided blessings, but faith is the hand that reaches out and receives it. By grace are you saved through faith. So God's grace has already provided salvation for me, but I reach out with faith and say, I believe it, I receive it. So just like we receive from God by faith, we can receive the enemy's plan by fear. So the devil wants us to fear. He wants us to be afraid. He'll put a fearful thought in my head, but it's up to me whether I take it or not. So that's why there is so much fear. And you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what? You've heard me say on this webcast today that I have things, fears presented to me. I need to do the same thing I'm encouraging you to do. You make a choice to put your trust in God. The only way, I've got a whole series that I taught right here, overcoming fear with faith. That's the only way that we can overcome fear. It's the only thing that's stronger than fear is faith. So like they say, when fear comes knocking on your door, send faith to answer. Fear will come knocking on our minds, but we have to say, nope, I'm going to put my trust in God. You only have two choices. You can live in fear, you can live in faith. And living in fear only produces torment. 1 John 4 says, fear hath torment. But the perfect love of God casts out fear. I want to end today by just telling you, God loves you so much. You. Not just everybody. He loves everybody, but He loves you. And I want you to receive that today. God loves you. You start by believing that. I don't care if you have to speak it out loud 100 times a day. You say, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God has got a good plan for my life, and I am not going to live in fear. You have to keep in mind, if you've been giving into fear for a long time, it's not going to move out just because you say go one time. You're going to have to convince it that you mean business and that you're not going to live in fear. You may feel it, but you can still take steps of faith. And every little tiny baby step that you take in faith, it's going to drive fear out of your life till eventually you can basically say, yes, I have fear presented to me once in a while, but I'm a courageous person that lives on the other side of fear. And you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's making progress in the face of fear. And God has enabled every single one of you to do that. So I really hope that you have enjoyed this today. You remember that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. If you've received Christ as your Savior, God is dwelling on the inside of you. The power of the Holy Ghost is dwelling on the inside of you. And you know what? The simple truth is, you've got what it takes. You can do whatever you need to do through Christ who strengthens you. But if you don't believe it, then it's not going to manifest. You start believing today that God's got a good plan for your life, that He loves you, and that you do not have to bow down to fear. Thank you so much for joining us. And when we close, I would love to hear more from you about this on Facebook. I think we can go a long way to encouraging one another in this fight. So right now, I want you to share the difficulties that you face in regard to fear and tell us how God is helping you conquer those fears. Your story may inspire others, so be sure to share with us. God bless you.